The Bleacher Report app is your destination for sports. Right now, the NBA is heating up, March Madness is here, and MLB is almost back. Every day there's a new headline, a new highlight, a new moment you've got to see for yourself. That's why I stay locked in with the Bleacher Report app. For me, it's about staying connected to my sports. I can follow the teams I care about, get real-time scores, breaking news, and highlights all in one place. Download the Bleacher Report app today so you never miss a moment.
Hi, I'm Daniel Lucas. Welcome back to the show. You know, there's something I love about tiny places. Map. The ones you blink and almost miss. The ones that seems to exist in the shadow of their louder, bigger neighbors. Because more often than not, those small places have learned something the rest of us have not. They figured out how to do more with less. How to turn accident of geography into a superpower. Today we're going to one of those places. A country so small that you could drive across in less time than it takes to watch a movie. And yet, it's one of the wealthiest nations on earth. A quiet powerhouse at the heart of continent that has spent countries, centuries fighting over it. This is Luxembourg. Let's start with the numbers, because in geography, size is often the first thing we notice. Luxembourg covers about 998 square miles. To put that in perspective, that is smaller than Rhode Island. You can fit nearly 17 Luxembourgs into the state of Maine. It's landlocked, wedged between Belgium, France, and Germany. And with the population just over 660,000 people, it's one of the smallest sovereign nations in Europe. But you're already reaching for, but it's just a tiny country. Narrative, hold that thought. Because Luxembourg's story is not about smallness. It's about leverage. The name itself tells you something about its origins. Luxembourg come from Lusignanbruch, or did I pronounce correct? Which is old High German, means little fortress. And that is exactly what it was. A fortified outpost perched on the rocky promontory overlooking the Alzette River. In 1963 AD, Count Siegfried acquired this rocky outcrop from what is a single transaction. A dynasty was born. The fortress grew and so did the territory around it. For centuries, the name was synonymous with one of the most formidable fortifications in Europe. They called it Gibraltar of the North. And there is the thing about being fortress in the middle of Europe. Everyone wants to control you. Luxembourg's geography places directly on the fault lines of European power struggles. It was fought over by the Burgundians, the Habsburgs, and the Spanish, the French, the Austrians, the Prussians, at various points. It was a part of the Holy Roman Empire and the Spanish Netherlands and the French Republic. If you're keeping score at the home, that's a lot of flags. But what is the constant churn thought that the people of Luxembourg was a resilience? And maybe something else. A deep understanding that survival requires adaptability. The fortress itself was dismantled in 1867 after the Treaty of London, which also declared Luxembourg as a neutral and independent state. It was a turning point. The physical walls calmed down, but to replace them was something more durable. A national identity forged not in a conquest, but in a space between giants. Luxembourg had been a buffer zone for centuries. Now it had become something else, a breach. The geography of Luxembourg is actually three distinct regions. In the north, you have the Alzette, on the Osling and the continuation of the Ardennes Forest, Rolling Hills, dense woodlands, deep river valleys. This is Luxembourg full of postcards, rugged and green. In the south and the center, you have the Gotland or the good land, which is exactly what it sounds like. Fertile farmland, rolling plateaus, and industrial heartland. And then there is a capital, Luxembourg City, built on those ancient fortress cliffs where the old city and the modern financial districts stack on the top of its other, like, geologically layers of history. That layer geography is important because it mirrors Luxembourg's layer identity. The north is a quiet, rural, and traditional. The south was built on steel and industry. And the capital. The capital became something else entirely. Today, Luxembourg City is one of the wealthiest capital city in the world. But what wealth did not come from iron ore or farmland. It came from decisions that the country made in the 20th century. After World War II, Luxembourg abandoned its neutrality and became founding member of nearly every major European institution. NATO in 1949, the European Coal and Steel Community in 1951, the precursor to the European Union, the Benelux Union with Belgium and the Netherlands. Luxembourg did not just join this organization, it made itself indispensable to them, and that required a geographic strategy. If you're small, you don't compete on size, you compete on connectivity. Today, Luxembourg City is one of the three official capitals of the European Union, hosting the European Court of Justice, the European Court of Auditors, and the European Investment Bank, and a host of other European institutions. This is not an accident. Luxembourg positioned itself as neutral ground, a place where France and German legal traditions could meet, where diplomats could negotiate, where money could move freely, and that positioning turned a former fortress into a capital of integration. Which brings us to the economy. Luxembourg's GDP per capita is consistently among of the highest in the world. In fact, it's often ranks number one. Let that sink in. Number one. A tiny landlocked country with no ocean access, no major natural resources, and a population smaller than Staten Island, is regularly the richest country on earth. How? The answer is the soil, but not the soil you plant crops in. Luxembourg built its wealth on banking, steel, and eventually a digital economy. The steel industry came first in the 19th century. The southern Gotland region turned out to be rich in iron ore. The ARP company became one of the Europe's largest steel producers. The Luxembourg became one an industrial powerhouse. By the 1970s, the steel industry was in decline. And here's where Luxembourg's stories diverges from so many other industrial regions that collapse when the mines close. They did not just mourn the loss, they pivoted. They pivoted in finance. In the 1980s and 1990s, Luxembourg aggressively developed its banking and investment fund sector. It offered stability, disruption, and regulatory environment that attracted capital from around the world. Today, Luxembourg is the second largest investment fund center in the world after the United States. It's the largest private banking center in the Eurozone. It managed more than 5 trillion euros in assets. That's a trillion with a T. But there's what a financial Luxembourg did not just become a financial hub. It became the hub of infrastructures of globalization. It's a major center for satellite communication through SES, one of the world's largest satellite operators. It's logistics hub with the conglomerates operating of the one of the world's largest all-cargo airline fleets. It's a digital hub with the data centers and tech companies drawn by its connectivity. Luxembourg understood early that in globalization, world geography is no longer just a physical, it's a digital, it's financial and regulatory. And this is bringing us to something that makes Luxembourg genuinely unusual. It's trilingualism. Luxembourg is the national language, and the language is every life and identity. French is the language of legislation, administration, and much of businesses. German is the language of press and education. School children learn all three, and many Luxembourgers also speak English. The multilingualism is not a quirk, it's a strategic asset. A country that speaks French and German, the language of its two largest neighbors, can be the bridge between them. In fact, you could argue that Luxembourg's international project has been bridge building between Romance and Germanic Europe, between continental traditions and Anglo-American finance, between the past and the future. The country's motto is Mir wel blue wa mir sin. We want to remain what we are, and yet to remain what is, Luxembourg has to constantly reinvent what that means. The identity is stable, the expression of it has been anything but. Now let's talk about geography of power, because Luxembourg's location has always been about power. The country sits at the crossroads of the Moselle River Valley, a region known for its wine, its picturesque village, and its strategic importance. The Moselle forms of a natural border with Germany, and along that border, you will find the Sangen village. In 1985, five European countries signed an agreement there to gradually abolish border controls. The Sangen area was born. Today was one of the most tangible expression of European integration, and it was signed in a wine village in Luxembourg. There is a poetry to that. The fortress that was once the most fortified place in Europe became the place where borders started coming down. The countries that was fought over the countries become the country that helped invent a Europe without internal borders. That was not just geographic lack, that's a geographic imagination. But let's not romanticize too much. Luxembourg's success has come with complications. The country has one of the highest rates of cross-border workers in the world. Every day, more than 200,000 of people commute into Luxembourg from France, Belgium, and Germany. That's nearly a third of the country's total workforce. They come from the jobs, the salaries, and opportunities. They live in Haven, back across the borders. This creates a unique dynamic. Luxembourg's economy depends on its neighbors. Its neighbors depend on Luxembourg. The commuter geography is as important as the physical geography. There's also a question of a scale. When you live in a country of 660,000 people, the national and the local blur together. The prime ministers might be your neighbors or cousins. National news is a local news. This intimacy has shaped Luxembourg's political culture. It's a constitutional monarchy with the Grand Duke and one of the last remaining Grand Duchess in the world. But it's also a stable democracy where consensus building in a way of life. When you are this small, you can't afford the luxury of prolonged political gridlock. And then there's a landscape itself for all banking towers and the EU institutions. Luxembourg is a remarkably green country. More than a third of the country is forested. The multilateral region in the east is called Little Switzerland for the drastic rock formation and hiking trails. The Moselle Valley produces the sparkling wines and crisp whites that are beloved in the region but rarely exported. Luxembourg is a place where you can be in a medieval castle in the morning, a Michelin-starred restaurant at lunch, and a vineyard of by afternoon, and still have time to cross the border into the three different countries before dinner. The castles are everywhere. Luxembourg have over 100 castles scattered across its countryside. Vianden Castle, perched on a hill overlooking to our river, is one of the most spectacular medieval fortifications in Europe. It was a home of the House of Orange, Nassau, and later became the symbol of Luxembourg's independence. Walking through this castle, you get the sense of countries that was built to defend itself and learned early that survival meant walls, but also the walls eventually have become doors. The transformation from fortress to open door is perhaps the central theme of Luxembourg's modern history. The country has one of the most highest percentage of foreign-born residents in Europe. Nearly half of the population is foreign. It's not a homogeneous nation, it's a multicultural society that held together by shared identity that is flexible enough to include newcomers. You can become a Luxembourgist. It takes time, language, and commitment, but the door is open. The food tells the story of two. Luxembourg cuisine is a hybrid French of German portions and local traditions like Jurmat, Garbendermo smoked pork collar with broad beans. The pastries are rich. The cheese are exceptional, and the wine, as I mentioned, is a point of quite pride. The Moselle wines of Luxembourg are grown on steep slate slopes, harvested by hand, and celebrated in festivals that have been happening for centuries. The scenes in the autumn wine villages that feel like it's folded itself. Ancient traditions alive, as well as one of the most modern economies on earth. But modernity comes with the cost. Luxembourg has struggled with some issues facing small country in globalized world. Housing affordability, infrastructure strain from a commuter influx, environmental pressure, and the challenges of maintaining cultural identity in the face of constant external influence. The phrase, "we want to remain what we are," is not just a motto, it's a daily negotiation. And yet, Luxembourg has proven remarkably adaptation. The country is now positioning itself as a hub for space resources, with the Luxembourg Space Agency leading efforts to asteroid mining as well as space-based manufacturing. It is the same logic that transforms into a financial hub. Find the frontier, build the infrastructure, become indispensable. Luxembourg is essentially applying its centuries-old survival strategy of the cosmos, or to the cosmos itself. The climate is temperate, with mild winters and cool summers. The rainfall is steady. The seasons are distinct. There's a reason the landscape is so green. And there's the season, or the reason of Luxembourg's architectures tends towards thick walls and cozy interiors. This is the country that has learned to create warmth in a climate that can be great and build community in geography that was once no man's land between empires. The education system reflects country's hybrid identity. Luxembourg's children are taught Luxembourgish, German, and French, with increasing emphasis on English and other languages as they progress. The University of Luxembourg is young, founded in 2003, but it's already a multilingual, research-intensive institution drawing students from across Europe. Education here is not just about learning facts, it's all about learning to navigate a multiple world. And perhaps there's a deepest lesson of Luxembourg's geography. When you're born at crossroads, learn to navigate. When your country has been invaded, occupied, liberated, and reinvented more times than you can count, you develop a certain kind of flexibility. You learn that identity is not about purity, it's about coherence. It's about holding together different influences and making something that is unmistakably your own. This arts reflect this. Luxembourg has produced writers who write in French, German, and Luxembourgish. It has a film industry that tells stories in multiple languages. The Philharmonic Luxembourg is an architectural masterpiece of white columns and warm acoustics, hosting orchestras from across Europe. The Muda Museum of Modern Art is set on the site of the old fortress. Art built on the foundation of war. Everything here is just layered. There's a term in geography called spatial justice. It's about how resources, opportunities, and risks are distributed across landscapes. Luxembourg's are the countries that has achieved kind of a spatial justice through integration, not by building walls, but by making itself useful to its neighbors. By creating opportunities that draw talent across borders, by investing in infrastructure that connects rather than divides. The commuter model is imperfect, but it's also a form of interdependence that makes conflict unthinkable. Consider this. The last time Luxembourg was invaded was World War II. The country was occupied by Nazi Germany despite its neutrality. The trauma of that occupation is still present in the national memory, but response was not isolation. It was opposite. Luxembourg became one of the most enthusiastic architects of Europe integration. The Grand Duchy understood that the only way to prevent another occupation was to weave itself so deeply into a fabric of Europe that no one can pull it out without unraveling everything. That strategy worked. Today, Luxembourg is not just safe, it's central. The European Court of Justice sits in Luxembourg, arbitrating disputes that shape the legal order of half a billion people. The European Investment Bank, headquarters in Luxembourg, finances projects across the continent. The country has turned into geographic vulnerability into geopolitical influence. The built environment reflects this confidence. Luxembourg city skylines, a mix of historic fortifications, a graceful bridges spanning the deep valleys of Alzette and Petrus rivers, and a modern glass tower housing banks and EU institutions. The Adolf Bridge, completed in 1903, was once the largest stone arch bridge in the world. Today, it carries pedestrian traffic alongside the dedicated tram line, a symbol of how city honors in its past while building for the future. Transportation is fascinating less into Luxembourg's priorities. In 2020, the country made a public transportation free. Buses, trams, trains, completely free for everyone. It's the first country in the world to do so. This is not just a policy, it's a statement. Luxembourg is small enough that free transit is feasible and wealthy enough that it can be absorbed the cost. But it's also a signal that the country values mobility, accessibility and reducing the barriers that separate people from opportunity. The free transit policy has also addressed commuters' geography. When more than 200,000 people across borders into Luxembourg every day, traffic congestion becomes a real problem. Free transit is an invitation to leave the car behind. It's also an invitation to the neighbors. We want you here, and we want to make it easy for you to come. So that's a different approach to a border that, or borders than that we can see in many parts of the world today. And yet, Luxembourg is one of the naive about borders. The country is a founding member of the Schengen, but it also the custom of union with Belgium and Netherlands that dates back to 1944. The Benelux Union is one of the oldest forms of European cooperation and is still functional. Luxembourg understands that integration is not a zero-sum game. You can be Luxembourgish, European, global, all at once. These identities don't compete, they reinforce each other. The natural environment is protected with seriousness that reflects the country scale. When you're small, every actor matters. Luxembourg has a multiple nature reserve, networks of hiking trails that crisscross the country, and the commitment of sustainable development that goes beyond rhetoric. The country's topography and deep gorges and forested hills, the river valleys, has been preserved in part because of population density is uneven. The north is quiet, the center is bustling, the south is industrial, and it's currently managed. But there's a Luxembourg word that doesn't translate neatly, and it's borrowed from a German, and it means a sense of coziness, warm belonging. It is a feeling of sitting in a wine tavern on cool evening, the windows fogged up, and conversation flowing in the three languages, the fire crackling. Luxembourg may be a global financial center, but also a place where the quality is valued. The country has managed to keep its soul while building its wealth. And maybe that's a final lesson from his tiny fortress nation. Luxembourg succeeded not because it became cold or calculating, but because it understood that relationships matter. Its prosperity was built on trust. The trust of investors, trust of European partners, trust of the cross-border workers who make the economy run, and trust took decades to build and required constant maintenance. But it's its foundation. The fortress became a bridge. All bridges, unlike walls, require both sides to keep growing up. So that's Luxembourg, a country that learned to turn geography into strategy, vulnerability into advantage. Walls into doors is a place where medieval castles overlook modern banks, where three languages are spoken in a single conversation, where the smallest territory on the map become one of the largest forces of European integration. There's something is the story for all of us. So I think about how we respond to being caught between larger forces, about whether we build walls or bridges, about whether we let our past define us as a fortress or foundation. If you want to learn more about Luxembourg, its hiking trail, its wine festivals, its improbable rise from the iron and steels to satellites and space resources, I put some recommendation in the show notes. And if you ever spend in Luxembourg, or if you've from there, I'd love to hear from your perspective. What's Luxembourg that the statistics don't capture? What's the feeling of being from the place that size at the center of a continent? As always, thanks for coming with me in this journey. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and remember, the smallest places often have the biggest stories to tell. Well, Bodycam people, see you soon.